overall 10-2 for his clients, including the big 45-unit selection with the Central Florida's pick over Stanford. 3-0 so far on this young season and those big picks. Lee, I hope you had a great week to this point, and welcome back to the show.
Yeah, we did. Thanks a lot. And we'll just act like that Tennessee game didn't exist last night, right?
Well, I will say this. I had Jacksonville and, you know, plus the points, and I had the under. And unfortunately, I also had Houston and was feeling really good about that pick last night against Tulane before Tulane did the all faking.
Weren't they up, what, 28-7 at one point?
It was 28-7 in the first half. And so, but they, you know, they're in good shape. This game's all tied up, and, you know, Tulane tries to pull the Dan Marino faking like he's going to down the ball instead, the winning touchdown.
That was a great play. I've never seen that run before, have you?
Yeah, Dan Marino pulled it off back in his day.
We're talking about where the running back with 27 seconds to go.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Totally different with that one. Yeah, absolutely. Now, that was certainly pulling one out of the hat right there.
Oh, yeah. I know the play you're talking about now. Yeah. So, I mean, but that play with 20-something seconds ago was great. It didn't win the game, but it certainly set them up and put them in a position to have a chance.
How about it? I love stories like a Tulane. You know, here's a team that went through so much during Hurricane Katrina. And to go from that to where they are right now, I love this emerging story with Tulane.
Yeah.
We'll see how it all plays out. All right. By the way, how did you go with the Jacksonville game last night?
I actually had the other side, had the wrong side. I don't know what was more painful, losing money on the game and losing for my clients or having to watch that game. So even Tom Brady was upset.
Well, he was upset with the officiating, but if you're going to make it that obvious when you're holding, I mean, where players are past you and you're not as good as the person you're lined up against, and you know they're already past you and you've got your hand out to hold them to make sure that they don't kill your quarterback. I mean, if you're going to make it that obvious,
no, almost every call was, I mean, it was justifiable. It was too much. I mean, this is, like I said, there was no flow to the game at all whatsoever, and you know it's tough enough. You know, to watch some of these bad games, but to watch it in the rain and then all the penalties, it was terrible.
All right, let's start with a big game. I love games like this because to me, Georgia and Notre Dame tomorrow night could be a game changer moving forward. We're already seeing a trend where we're getting a lot of these nice home and home series. I look at the fact that Notre Dame will be playing Arkansas, Alabama, along with Texas A&M the next decade. We're seeing big schools coming to your home field and you making the return trip. I love that. And I think tomorrow night, for those that are still on, wavering whether or not they should start going down and taking on this trend, giving up a chance for them to win their bonus money in case their team doesn't get to bowl eligibility, I think watching that atmosphere tomorrow night, this to me has a chance to be an incredible game changer.
Yeah.
I first started leaning towards Notre Dame on this one based on last year, the trash talking from the Georgia Bulldogs and Notre Dame with an opportunity to, you know, maybe let this be a statement game for them. But the more and more I thought about it, I think it really more it kind of gets into the favor of the Bulldogs. So here's the Bulldogs. Not only were able to run their mouth last year, but this is actually a chance for them to use their abilities on the football field to let that part of it do their talking. So originally I thought 14 points, that's awfully high. That's a lot of points to give up. But then again, I remember how Notre Dame, using these situations, they blew it in 2012. They blew it last year. Anytime they are on these kind of stages trying to show everybody they deserve to be one of the four top teams in the country, they prove us wrong. And so I'm taking the Georgia Bulldogs, given the 14 to Notre Dame. And Alan Bell is also taking Georgia, given the 14. Feels like the running game for Georgia will be too much for Notre Dame.
I think that's the mismatch in the game. So that's the problem for Notre Dame here. They're small on the defensive front. I think they average something like 274 a man, and Georgia's over 320, so that's almost a 50-pound advantage. But Notre Dame is smart. I think they're going to realize that they can't just allow Georgia just to move down the field 5, 8, 10-yard chunks. So I think they're going to load the box up sometimes. I think they're going to also blitz early and often, and they're going to make Georgia beat them throwing the football. And Georgia, I don't know what kind of passing game they have. They lost their top five receivers from last year. Here's where I think losing helps a team. I think Notre Dame losing that game 30-3, they were in it for maybe a quarter and a half last year in that semifinal against Clemson. I think that kind of game motivates a team for the next season and the next big game early in the season. So I think Ian Book will be fine. I think he'll settle in. I think they're going to take some shots. I think they're going to maybe try a trick play or two. Georgia wins 34-27, but Notre Dame covers.
That's fair. All right, yep. Next up, Texas A&M. They are a four-point favorite at home against Auburn. And one of the things that we saw, and it changed last year, but since Texas A&M joined the SEC, when these two teams would meet up, the visiting team would win the ball game. And it looked like that was going to be the case again last year, except Kellen Mond gave up a key turnover through an interception. The Auburn Tigers rallied for that victory. So Kellen Mond remembers last year. He also remembers his poor performance against Clemson this year. So Texas A&M, after one loss already, look, this is an elimination game as far as the college football playoff. Right now, both A&M and Auburn, if they win out, they're making the college football playoff. I'll let that sink in for just a second. But I think we go back to the trend of the visiting team winning in this series. Gus Malzahn, you know, he hears all the talk. Another one leaked out this week. We're going to try to get Bob Stoops as our next head coach. Well, hello. I mean, here's a top eight team in the country taking the field tomorrow, representing everybody down on the plains. Gus Malzahn loves these kind of contests. Alan Bell feels the same way as I do about this situation. It may be a game that A&M actually can pull it off and win by a point or two. But something, I'm just not going against Gus Malzahn until he, you know, till that horse throws me. I'm staying with the Gus bus there. I'm taking Auburn plus the four, and Alan Bell is doing the same thing.
So am I. And they run the football. And as much as you want to talk about the game has changed, in the SEC, you dominate the line of scrimmage, you're going to win a lot of games. And Auburn running for an average of 282 a game and giving up just 100. Texas A&M's running for just 174, and two of the three opponents were Texas State, my alma mater, who's not good at all, and Lamar. They've already lost their starting running back, Corbin, and the backup the week before. It's a weird series. The visitor, 6-0-1 against the spread since A&M entered the SEC in 2012, and I just think they're a different look and different feel to the Auburn team here since Gus Malzahn started calling the plays again. Wrong team's favorite, Auburn 28-27.
Florida, Tennessee. Look, the stats don't lie. I mean, Tennessee has lost seven straight in Gainesville. They're 1-13 against the Gators since 2005. It kind of reminds me when we start thinking Michigan, Ohio State, how, you know, two teams that used to be something, and now one of them is and one of them is not for whatever reason. But this is also, when you look at the last two trips that Tennessee went into Gainesville, 2015, 2017, we're talking about very tight games. The last time they went there in 2017, they lose 26-20. In 2015, it was 28-27 win by the Gators they pulled off. So with that said, I'm expecting a close game. And then you start looking into how Tennessee last year under Jeremy Pruitt, they had no business going down and beating Auburn. They had no business beating Kentucky, both ranked teams at the time. Can we see the upset happening with Tennessee beating Florida? I mean, it is Kyle Trask. He's making a first start. He grew up being a huge fan of the Gators. And with that said, we don't know how. You know, it was great when you're not expected to come in, and all of a sudden now you have to rally your team. There's no pressure there. And the fact that he's had to think about it all week, you wonder if he's going to be also with 11 a.m. kickoff, being a situation where he makes a lot of mental mistakes. I don't necessarily think Tennessee's going to win this game, but I think 14 is too much. I'm taking the Gators. I'm taking Tennessee plus the 14. Alan Bell's going just the opposite. He just does not have a lot of faith in Tennessee, barely, being able to do much as far as from an offensive standpoint. So he's taking Florida, giving the 14.
I'm going to ride you, and I think you got some really good points here. Let me add to that. Trask, I think, is going to be the right guy, and I think he's going to do a great job. May not put up as many points, but he's also not going to cost his defense and his team many points. Felipe Franks is certainly takes more chances and turns the ball over more. So a couple of rules that I go by in handicapping, and I never try to go against these 12. And some of them are like certain coaches, you know, as home dogs, like Pat Fitzgerald. You know, I'm either on Pat Fitzgerald as a home underdog or I'm not playing the game. I mean, the guy's hitting like 75% of his games when he's a home underdog. Now, if you want to lay double digits, you better have a high-scoring team. Florida hasn't scored more than 30 points in any of their games this year, the two against these, you know, Division I teams. So that's a problem. And then I look at pace. And, you know, if you've got a team like Central Florida that gets off 77, 78 plays a game, you know, laying double digits, I think it's great. But Florida is getting off only 65 plays per game. That ranks 115 out of 120. And I just think Tennessee has enough talent to hang here. Tennessee has players. They just don't have the confidence. So they'll be ready to go. I mean, this game means a lot more to them than it does to Florida. Florida wins 27-20, but Tennessee covers.
This next game, you know, I go back to before the season started looking at Georgia-Vanderbilt, and I felt like Vanderbilt was the better side, taking the points against the Bulldogs. And it really kind of played out that way until the very, very end, although Georgia was able to cover late. I see this LSU matchup. You know, honestly, I would like Vanderbilt's chances a lot better if they were on the road tomorrow instead of hosting LSU. And the reason why is because you have to pack the bags. You have to get on the plane. You know you're on a business trip. And I would have liked Vanderbilt's chances a lot more being down in Baton Rouge, honestly. And the fact, too, that LSU, when you think about 11 a.m. kickoffs, you could see where maybe LSU misses their wake-up call, per se, and maybe they slumber in, and it's not until the third quarter before they start playing a game. I think this LSU team is built differently. I love their schedule, the fact that they play four, get a bye week. Play four, get a bye week. It's not like they're having to string together six or seven games before they get a bye week. So mentally, I think they'll be fresh. Really, honestly, when you think about from a Vanderbilt perspective, the only way you can make this a one-half game is if LSU is uninspired, if they're flat. And I don't think that is the case at all. LSU looking up to Clemson, Alabama, Georgia in the national rankings, you know, they want to show everybody that they deserve to be there. And to do that, it's not just taking care of business against Texas on the road. You have to take care of these games. The other part, too, LSU, number two rushing defense in the conference, allowing just over 80 yards per game. And look, they play well even in this situation. I just think that from a Vanderbilt perspective, I just don't like this matchup at all. I'm taking LSU, giving the 23.5. Alan Bell's on the opposite side. He thinks that that LSU will not care all that much, and so because of it, you know, they won't be able to win the game by that kind of margin. So he's going on the side of Vanderbilt plus the 23.5.
I think the right side is probably LSU here. Vanderbilt's defense, bottom 10 in percentage of plays, blitzing on defense. I think you got to get some pressure on LSU's quarterback and probably can't get to him, but you got to take a shot here. Burrow, 11 touchdowns. You had to be picked off. Vandy off the bye week. They'll probably have a decent game plan, but they're at a disadvantage because they can't stop the run. They allowed 325 to Georgia, and then they can't stop the pass. Purdue threw for 509 against them, and LSU's better than Purdue. So on top of all that, LSU's got great special teams. People forget about that. That's a big part in the game. And, you know, they might take one to the house. They might block a punt. I mean, the punter and kicker aren't great for Vanderbilt. Give me LSU here, 49-13.
Lee Sterling, handicapper with Paramount Sports and ParamountSports.com, joining us. From an NFL perspective, Kansas City, a six-point favorite against the Baltimore Ravens. And look, Baltimore, one of those surprise teams early on with the fact that their hot start, Lamar Jackson playing, you know, even if you're the biggest fan of Lamar Jackson, I don't think you would have said that he would gotten off to this kind of start through his first two games, right? So you get this matchup, Patrick Mahomes in Kansas City, you know, playing a host to the Baltimore Ravens. You know, for me, I understand that at times KC's defense, you know, you can make the argument that, oh, this is not good. You got a Lamar Jackson who can pass, also can run. I just think at home, Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs' offense will be clicking. The defense will make enough plays where the 6 points is not that much of a factor. I'm taking Kansas City, giving Baltimore the six.
Well, they played last year, and Kansas City won in overtime in Kansas City, 27-24. I don't think they're much different than last year. I mean, their defense got some different players, but I don't think they're any better. Their run defense, number 27th in the NFL. And I was not a fan of Lamar Jackson. I did not think he was a guy that, watching him last year, was going to be able to guy that could take him to the next level. But he has improved a lot, a whole lot, and put some nice pieces around him. Ingram at running back, Marquise Brown, great pickup in the draft. I mean, here's a guy, probably a 4-2, 4-3 guy. He takes the top off the defense. So I think they got it all going on. They're not afraid of going in there. They almost won the game last year. I think it's going to be more of a shootout. I think it'll be high scoring. But I have Baltimore winning the game. I'm going to put half my wager on Baltimore plus the 6 to 6.5, and I'm going to take them on the money line. Baltimore wins this game 38-35.
And by the way, Alan Bell also has Baltimore, so I'm going to be all by my lonesome. And in fact, when we look at this week, you're by yourself with Notre Dame. Alan is by himself with Florida. Alan is by himself with Vanderbilt, and I'm by myself with Kansas City. And okay. Going into this week, by the way, you've got the one-game lead over both Alan and myself.
Okay, well, it's got a good contest. If they want to join me, we're having just an incredible start. 2 weeks ago, we had, you know, Oregon as our big play. They won 77-6. We went 9-5 overall for our clients, and then last week 10-2, and then hit on a game I've been waiting on for a long time with Central Florida. So a lot of people, you know, they go out there and they start doing their handicap in a couple weeks. I laugh at some of these guys on TV. I think, listen, I can't remember which it was. Which guy it was from ESPN, like a week before the season, said he's going to hunker down and start studying football. And I'm saying to myself, wow, he's going to only look at the top 25 teams. I look at JUCO, guys. I watch tape of JUCO quarterbacks, running back receivers, and want to see how they look, you know, and how they'll maybe fit in with their new teams. And I go to spring games, probably 12 to 15 spring games every year. So I had seen something last year with that in March with UCF scrimmage and their spring game. Everyone was talking about Brandon Wimbush. I watched him, wasn't that impressed. Watched Darrell Mack, the kid that took over Mackenzie Milton, didn't impress me. And I'm watching this kid, and I never heard of Dylan Gabriel. You know, I don't follow recruiting that much. You hear certain names, you know, in the state and around the country. But, you know, I'm watching this kid making the right reads and throwing the ball right on the money. And I just said, this kid is the real deal. Look him up. And sure enough, he's from the same high school in Hawaii as Tua and Timmy Chang. He's broken all their records. And, I mean, here's a kid that, you know, looks like Hawaii is now the new cradle of quarterbacks. It's not Pennsylvania. So, you gotta uncover things. Sometimes you go to these spring games, 4 or 5 in a row, and you see nothing. But if you can find something and use it to your advantage later on, and when I knew he was going to start, and I knew Stanford was in trouble, not the same team this year, I knew it was a rock-solid 45-unit play. So I know people want to join me, and maybe sometimes it's the price point, and they don't want to sign up for the month of the season. So I'm going to do this week. If they want to join me for Saturday or Sunday, then get 7 games on Saturday to $77. And when you purchase it, it's an instant download. As soon as you purchase it, the games pop open. You got all 7 games. You don't have to call me back tomorrow morning. Also, I've got all the games for Sunday, 5 for $55. Same thing, instant download. So I'm making it so affordable, $11 a play. Everyone can afford that. So you want to hop on board, go to ParamountSports.com. 7 for $77 on Saturday, 5 for $55 on Sunday. Or you want the game of the week, you want to order it here at the office. How about this game? The Chargers in Houston on Sunday. What a game that's going to be. Just call 800-400-9741.